Welcome to the new garden conversation. This is the first time that I'm attempting to do an on-site visit to a garden. And I'm at Blythe Carter's garden. And Blythe can't always come in to do a garden conversation because she's got obligations at home. And so I said, well, I'm going to come there. And besides that, if you ever go to Blythe's garden, you will be amazed. And so,
thank you.
So we could talk for hours on this, but I'm going to focus on fruit trees today because that's what Blythe is a whiz at, along with other stuff. But so as we first walk into the garden from her front door, what do I see? I see strawberries. I see raspberries. And what else am I not seeing, Blythe? As far as fruit right here, any?
There's no fruit trees up here. I do actually have a couple.
Not trees. But,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have a whole bunch of currants, black currants bushes, and some gooseberries behind there, and a bunch of ornamentals.
What's that tree over there that looks like it's a, how do I say that, esplanade?
It's actually not a tree. It's actually a grape that I've got.
Oh, it's
that, and
grape.
It's called espalier.
I believe
is the correct pronunciation.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a grape which I'm going to remove. It clearly got killed this winter by the snow. So, and I've never had any luck with grapes.
So you have failures too.
Oh yeah.
Because it certainly looks, when I come in here, it looks like, oh my goodness, she has got all sorts of things going.
Oh, yeah.
So as we wander in, so we're passing the normal strawberries, raspberries, currants, we come upon this is an incredible place. She's got a duck pond that's enclosed, but it's not really a roof on top of it.
No, it's more like a pergola.
Uh-huh.
And I've got vines going up the beams. They're hardy kiwi vines. It just creates a really pleasant, green haven compared to what you normally see with a...
Are the most privileged ducks and chickens I've ever seen.
Yes, with a run, you normally don't see that. It's kind of a barren, wasted location. So, yeah, I was like, that's not going to happen with my guys. So.
Yeah. So I see you've got some trees or greenery in there at least. What's inside? So there's a fence around the whole thing, but inside you've got a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah, so I planted quite a few different things in there. One of them is a big black currant. I protected it the first couple years and now it's grown way up high. They get some of the fruit, but I've got so many currants that I don't care. And so they don't bother it now. It's got a little protection around the base, and it just spills out over it. It's probably, 7 feet tall, something like that, and probably about at least that wide also. Mm-hmm. So, that works great. And then, if you just protect the base of them from the chickens, and also you need to rock the bottoms in, otherwise the chickens will dig everything up. Then you can have greenery in that sort of situation.
And so is there an advantage of having trees inside there?
Besides the aesthetic appeal, it gives them shade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just like having it. Mm-hmm. I don't like having a barren area. And also, why waste the space, right?
Yeah. So it looks beautiful. Yeah. It's just so nice. Like I said, these are the most decadent chickens and ducks that I have ever come across. So, and now we're going into the fruit tree area. So as I look down here, do you have any idea how many trees you actually have here?
I actually counted the other day because people keep asking me.
And what was the tally?
I have 116 fruit trees.
Oh. Wow, and I think I'm doing good with 7.
Yeah. It's just a couple. Yeah.
So, how old? And they're all dwarf. I don't see any big, huge, what I think of big apple trees or anything. They're all dwarf trees.
They're semi-dwarf to dwarf. Mm-hmm. And I also prune them that keeps them smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, you can have a large tree, but if you prune it to keep it smaller, I don't like ladders. Me and ladders.
Right,
don't like
I remember you saying you don't like ladders, and
yes.
So this is your way of keeping them so you can
yes.
pick them. And you're pretty tall, so you've got that advantage.
I do.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the oldest trees here are really not very old, right?
They are not. No, mm-hmm. I cleared the whole property in the fall of 2015 mm-hmm. and planted everything the following spring. Well, not everything, but I started planting a bunch of the trees the following spring. So the oldest trees are
only 5 years old.
5 years wow. old, yeah.
So is your aspiration with this many trees just giving us a foreshadow? Are you hoping to provide the valley of
Yes, that's my plan. Wow. I would like to provide at least some of the fruit so people can have local fruit. We can grow so many things here mm-hmm. that why not?
Yeah.
You know, why ship stuff all mm-hmm. the way from Africa mm-hmm. when we can.
Well, you haven't convinced me that we can grow it, but I'm at the beginning stages. I am learning that growing fruit trees is a really different process. It's a different way of thinking than the garden. I mean, we're also looking at Blythe's garden over here, but we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the fruit growing. And there's all sorts of techniques that you have to learn. Like one of them I'm looking at right in front of me is, why do you have the bottom of your tree white?
So I've painted it white. It's a mixture of half a water-based latex paint, a white water-based latex, and half water. And I paint them that way. It serves basically as the tree guards, the plastic wraps you see.
Uh-huh.
And what that does, what those plastic wraps are, if you've ever seen those and wondered what they were, is there to stop voles and mice and stuff from chewing the bark and ringing your tree.
Which was a huge problem this year.
Yes, it mm-hmm. was, yeah. And also it stops the sun scald in the middle of winter. You know, when it's a nice sunny day and it's like feels like it's like 60 degrees outside, mm-hmm. what can happen is that side of the tree that hits the sun is hitting can thaw, and then when the sun goes down and suddenly it falls, you know, to 5 degrees outside, it can cause the whole side of the
it freezes and splits
yeah mm-hmm. which can obviously kill your tree. So the white paint reflects that
so stops the sun scald.
Right.
Okay.
Problem with the regular guards is that they can trap moisture behind mm-hmm. them, and it can cause all sorts of rot and bacterial issues and things like that.
Right, like bacterial canker, which I think I just yesterday discovered I have in some of my trees.
The small trees, ones that are about, less than an inch and a half maybe, I still use the guards, but only during mm-hmm. the winter, and I take them off in the spring.
Mm-hmm. And Rob Bishop just recommended to me yesterday that rather than using the guards, what he does is he puts hardware cloth around them.
You
gives
do
better
that, yes.
air, he said.
Yes, so. That will help. That'll stop the voles, but it doesn't stop
the sun scald.
The sun scald. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
And I have lost quite a few trees despite that to sun scald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So as we're looking across here, so what trees do you have? You've got plum, you've got apple.
So yeah, I've got both Japanese and European plum. I've mm-hmm. got apples, I've got sweet cherries, sour cherries. I have pears. I have something that's called a Shapova, which is a cross between a pear and a white beam, which is a type of mountain ash. Let me see here. What else do I have? I have a peach. I tried apricots, but have not been successful with apricots. Mm-hmm. My one that I'd had for 5 years died this winter.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
very, very sad. But yeah, so that's all the different fruit trees.
Maybe we should, instead of going on what is hard and what isn't successful, if a person says, I want to grow some fruit, what have you had the most success with? What's the easiest?
I would say the apples are the easiest.
Okay.
And European plums are the easiest.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I would recommend those two and try finding varieties that ripen the earliest you can possibly find.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what people have told me is that the don't necessarily believe the books. Either.
No. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If something says it ripens in July, you're good. If it says it ripens in September, it's probably too late.
Right.
Yeah. So, at least a month on to whatever they say.
So
yeah.
really early stuff.
Yes.
And don't believe. So we're coming up upon a beautiful red leafed plant here. What
yes,
is this?
Yes. It's a purple fountain beech. Uh-huh. It's, I just got it from Sabine Churchill.
Uh-huh.
She,
uh-huh.
She had it still, and I was like, okay, I have to get it. And yeah, it's just an ornamental. It is
right.
An ornamental, uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah, most of the time fruit trees win over ornamentals, but this time I just couldn't resist.
Well, it's one of the nice things about your garden as I stand here is it's not only functional in that it's providing food. It feels nice. You've got some ornamental stuff too,
and it feels
really nice. And so, there's a whole bunch of trees here, and then down below you've got more fruit trees, or is that raspberries, or what do you got down there?
So there's some raspberries down there, mm-hmm. and then there's back farther than that, there's even more fruit trees. I just cleared the lot, I bought the lot below me and cleared it last summer, and I planted a whole bunch more fruit trees down there.
Mm-hmm. So you are going to be providing Haynes with fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Great, good. Yeah, I look forward to it. So, and then what is this that we have over here? Some bushes. Are these edibles or are these
They
just...
are. So I've got a bunch of saskatoons, which is my new favorite berry.
They're kind of like a raspberry?
They're like a blueberry. They taste very familiar, very rather similar to a blueberry, but they're sweeter, and they're my new favorite fruit.
They're not the same as a service berry.
They actually are.
They are, okay.
And you can go and pick them in the wild,
but
I find that the domestic ones are much bigger
sweeter,
and juicier
often,
and sweeter, and they produce a lot more.
So Saskatoon berries, I've heard about them.
Yes,
And you're having obviously great success in growing them here. They're full of little baby fruits.
Yes, and they grow really fast, too. Uh-huh. So these guys are only... I think this might be its third summer.
Wow. And we're talking about
and they
5
were about,
or 6 feet tall.
They were originally about a foot and a half
and
tall.
And now they're 5 or 6
yeah.
feet tall.
Yeah.
So
and this is despite a whole bunch of damage they took this winter from the snow. So
And this big
luscious berry? Yeah, the next row is honeyberries.
Oh, these are honeyberries.
Yeah, I got...
Which has many names. For those people who are not familiar, they're called hasket berries, they're called honeyberries, they're called... there's another word. The Japanese have another name for them. But... and they are the same color of blueberries, but they're a different shape.
Yeah, they're really oblong and kind of weird shaped.
They're very weird shaped for a berry. Yeah.
Yes. They're actually related to the honeysuckle. They're a type
of
honeysuckle.
They're in the honeysuckle family.
Yeah.
You'd never know it. Well, the leaves kind of look
honeysuckle-ish. They do.
Yeah.
And that's actually where they get their name.
Honeyberries. Oh, that makes
Not
sense.
Not necessarily from the sweetness of the fruit.
Right. Yes. So some people don't like the fruit all that much.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like on the fence. Yeah. They're okay, but you have to let them ripen a long time, and the robins love them as much as I do. So,
I notice you don't have any netting over them yet.
Not yet. No,
you will end up putting netting over them.
Yeah, they'll have to be netted
the
most of the summer. Yeah.
And are these honeyberries down here, too?
The last row here is actually hardy kiwi.
Oh, that's the hardy kiwi.
Yeah, and these ones are the Arctic beauty variety of hardy kiwi.
So you have two different kinds of kiwi, because you've got some up in your...
Yes, there's I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it's Arguta variety, and they ripen a little bit later, although I got early ripening varieties of those. They're also more commonly known as, like, the Anna varieties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They ripen later, and then the September Sun and Arctic Beauty ones, they ripen a little bit earlier, and that's a better bet for most people.
In our climate.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I need to reinforce that, because that's not going to hold up for very much longer.
Yes, my experience with kiwis is that you have to have really serious trellises, because they are very, very vigorous growers.
Yes, I need to put some cement posts in and actually run some beams across.
That's what you need to do. We had them overtake our garage, and so I had to move them because they literally were growing inside of our garage. And
I can believe it.
And so then there's a whole row on the side there that has a lilac in it, but what are the rest of they're pretty good size 5-foot, 6-foot bushes?
Yes, those are red currants.
Red currants.
Lots and lots of red currants.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you do with your red currants?
And I actually juice them.
You juice them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just cook them down and take the juice out and sweeten it a tiny bit, and then it makes a concentrate and drink that all
year.
Yeah, yep. They're
it's
really
supposed
tasty.
To be very good for you.
Yes.
All right, so have we missed any of the fruits that you have? Have I missed any of them?
Well, probably, but you know.
So, pretty amazing. So what's in this cage? You've got this...
So that's more, like I said, my new favorite fruit is the Saskatoon. Okay. So I've got more Saskatoons growing in there. Uh-huh. A couple different varieties. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I've also got some sea berries. I've been struggling with sea berries, but I put them in a better place. I'm hoping that they will do better now.
Which is a buckthorn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we are at the end of our time. We are also at the bottom of Blythe's garden. And like I said, we could talk for hours about everything. So, but it's been fun. It's been fun to walk through the garden and see everything that's here on this beautiful sunny day. So thanks so much for inviting me into your garden.
Well, thank you for coming on over.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.